This piece has been brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today we're talking hedgehogs, and we're talking hedgehogs with Lorelei Tibbetts, who is the manager of the Center for Avian and Exotic Medicine in New York City. They do all exotic animals. If you have an exotic, check them out. They're really, really great people. They do wonderful medicine, and Lorelei's been here a couple times, so we're like old friends.
Yoo-hoo!
Yay! Lorelei, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to be back.
I'm thrilled you're here, and I'm really excited to talk about hedgehogs, because we had a little mishap last week, but so let's do this.
Loving hedgehogs.
I know nothing about them. Like, I know nothing about them. So some of these questions
You're not alone.
Got to be really stupid, I'm sure.
Totally okay. Most people aren't, you know, PhDs in hedgehogs, so we'll get you up to speed.
I appreciate that, because I think I've maybe seen one in person. Mm-hmm. So this is like a whole little, you know, hedgehog extravaganza.
Okay.
So how long have these things been around?
Well, you know, they're actually one of the more kind of ancient species.
Really?
They're very, very old. We're talking 15 million years in ancestry.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Very old species. So they've been around a very long time, and they've been kind of part of people's lives as pets, you know, potentially as long as people could remember.
Like, have they always been that small, or were, like, prehistoric hedgehogs, like, giant things?
Dinosaur hedgehogs.
Totally.
Well, there's a lot of different kinds of hedgehogs. There's actually 15 to 17 species of hedgehogs around the world, well, in the different countries where they exist. And some of them are small, like the ones we have in captivity, which are we call African pygmy hedgehogs.
Okay.
They're one of the smaller kinds. But, you know, European hedgehogs that are a lot more common, obviously, in Europe are significantly bigger.
Okay.
Still not that big.
Like rabbit size, kind of?
A little smaller than that. More like a big guinea pig.
Okay, cool. And who are they? What are they most closely related to?
Well, that's an interesting question, because people always think that they're related to porcupines.
Oh.
But they are not.
Really?
Yep. Porcupines are rodents. Hedgehogs are not. So they're completely different families. They just both happen to be kind of spiny. They don't have a lot of close relatives, partly because of how old they are. It is thought that maybe they're related to shrews and voles and moles and little guys like that, but they don't have a lot of close relatives.
And how big, like the smallest hedgehog or the African pygmies that I've seen, I'm assuming they're like hand-sized?
Yeah, they're like a baseball.
Okay.
When they're in a ball, which they usually are.
And like how big are like the biggest ones?
More like a melon.
Okay. That's substantial. It's kind of like a fetus, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, at this point, you have an orange.
Yeah.
And where are they found in the world?
Well, they're indigenous to Europe, Asia, and Africa.
Huh.
They are also an introduced species in New Zealand, so there are some there, but they're not, they're, you know, like most species in New Zealand, they are introduced, so they're actually considered an invasive species there. They are not indigenous to that area. Africa, mostly Northern Africa, Asia, that's, you know, and then obviously the Europe, they're all over.
I wasn't expecting Asia, but I don't know why, because they look it. You know what I mean? It looks like a perfect little Japanese cartoon.
So, they probably originated there is my guess, if I had to guess, and then they were introduced into Europe.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That really makes sense. And then what's the ideal habitat for a hedgehog? Where do they live?
Well, in nature, they live in shrubbery, you know, in hedges, right?
Oh, hedgehog. Really?
I swear to God, I don't make this up. They kind of root around and live in underbrush. Thus the name. And, you know, when we're talking in captivity, how to set them up properly. You know, unless you have hedges and shrubs in your home, you're going to try to set them up maybe similar to that of like a guinea pig. We do consider them caged pets in that they don't really just roam around your house.
Okay.
So you'd have an enclosure for them that should have a lot of different places for them to hide, places for them to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They are nocturnal, you want to make sure they have a good sleeping box so they can be comfortable during the day when they don't want to be, you know, basking in the sun. And they're very active at night.
Really?
So you you need to have, they need a lot of exercise. They need places to exercise in their enclosure, like a rodent wheel.
Okay.
Even though they're not rodents, you'd want something they could run on and things like that. So, people don't know that. They're very active. So you have to make sure they have a lot of time out of the enclosure. You can even put them in, you know, they saw those cute little balls that you put hamster balls in.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So you get those and they can put them in those. Or if you're comfortable and have a good relationship with your hedgehog, let them play around your floor as long as it's hedgehog proofed.
Yeah, so no wires, no, you know, chocolate on the floor.
No places they can get into and then you can't get them
out. Oh!
Because they're small. They could get into, like, if you've got crevices and things lost in the sofa, you know, that kind of stuff.
That would be a fun visit.
I know, you wouldn't want to be reaching to pull a hedgehog out of your sofa hole.
Oh my God. I mean, it's just like,
that would hurt.
It's like, where is he? And so, like, what's a hedgehog's job in the environment? What's their role?
Well, they are mostly insectivorous in the wild.
Oh, okay.
So they do eat and probably have some sort of insect control, I would guess. People might like them to take care of garden insects and things like that. They eat slugs and snails and bugs and stuff like that.
Huh.
I think in Europe they have some significance as far as just part of their heritage. They're kind of one of their mascots in the UK in particular. I know they're very common. It's a popular animal that they kind of value as of their
They're like
heritage.
Nuts over them over there compared to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I love about the UK is when people in the UK get involved in something, and especially an animal of some sort, they really learn it and they get really into it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, hedgehogs, when I was doing research for the show, it was everything was like UK, UK, UK.
Yeah, they're real popular there. And they live there indigenously, so it's a big thing.
So are these animals legal in the U.S.?
Well, they are, that's a hard question to answer. It depends on where you live.
Okay.
So, for instance, New York City, the municipality of New York City, many exotic, what would be considered exotic pets, are not legal because they are technically not domesticated.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go into a local Petco or a Petland discount or one of the chain shops and buy a hedgehog. They can't sell them.
Okay.
You're not allowed to. But you can certainly buy them online, and there are some states and municipalities where, for whatever reason, they've made it allowed that people can own them there.
Mm-hmm.
So we do certainly have plenty of people who own them and bring them in, and we care for them. As I tell people a lot, people ask us the question as veterinarians, my pet's illegal, can I bring it in? Are you going to take my pet away? And the answer is
totally.
No.
Yeah.
We don't do that. We are there to serve their medical needs. We're not the police. So people do bring them into us. So don't be scared to bring them in. We're not going to take them away. We'll just help them.
because I knew some woman in New Jersey who had a bunch, and that was the problem that she had. Was I don't know where she got them, but she knew a breeder or something.
Yeah.
But like vet visits, it was like, I need to find someone who's going to be cool with this. And it's like, I really don't think they're going to confiscate your pets, you know?
I've never heard of a veterinarian doing that, you know, as long as the people are caring for the animal properly. I would imagine that wouldn't
be. I mean, I could see it if it was something like really dangerous, like a rattlesnake or something, you know?
Right.
And I'd be like,
I've got a tiger I'd like to bring in. Oh, maybe not. I might want to report that. I mean, just for the safety of, you know, the world.
Exactly, for humanity. My God, you know? And so, I hate to ask this question, but it's been a theme this year. I'm assuming hedgehog numbers are declining. Do you know anything about this?
Well, they're not endangered.
Okay, good.
I think like most species in the world, they are declining.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they don't have a lot of natural predators. There are some predatorial species like raptors, the large eagles and owls. Not a lot of animals are interested in eating them because they are very difficult. They when they're threatened, they ball up into a tight little ball and they're covered in sharp spines.
They are sharp, huh?
Yeah, it hurts. So no one's going to want to take a bite of that.
Yeah.
And so they don't have a ton of predators. You know, ferrets, mongooses, things like that might enjoy the challenge of getting at them.
Yeah.
But their biggest predator is man.
Okay.
So for instance, in Europe, the main problem that they have is those weed whackers.
Oh, God.
People are caring for their gardens, and that's where they live, in the edges of gardens and things like that, and they just,
I'd wreck your day.
I know.
God, that'd be a mess.
It would be horrible. And then also the pesticide control. People use things to kill slugs and things in their garden, and then these guys are going in there to eat them.
Exactly.
And they're getting poisoned. So they're not on the endangered species list at this time, but like most species, they are heading in that direction if we don't protect them better.
And how many, like when they breed, are they like mice where they have like a million in a year, or is it like a little
depends
slower?
On the species. You know, the ones that we see in captivity, it's more like 5 to 8 babies, but there are some that can have up to like 11.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So they're pretty prolific.
That's a trip. Mm-hmm. And how long do they live?
They don't have very long lifespans. Mm-hmm. Usually 4 to 6 years.
Okay.
Not as long as people like. It's one of the sad parts about owning them is they just don't live that long.
Yeah, it was like I had a guinea pig that I loved, and she lived forever. Like, oh my God, she died at, I think, 7. Mm-hmm. And the vets were like, what? It was like, how is this even possible, you know?
Yeah. A 7-year-old hedgehog would be pretty unusual.
Yeah, it's that's the thing about the small animals. I mean, if you're, you know, if you want something that's not going to last as long as a cat or a dog, it's great.
Yeah.
But still, it's, you know, you get so attached.
You get so attached. You get just as attached as you do a lot of times. They're so engaging and personable, these little guys, and people don't think they're going to get attached. And before you know it, you're in love with them.
Everyone I know, I mean, there's especially this woman in Jersey, I know 2 people. So like everyone I know is like two people, but they're like completely obsessed.
Yeah.
And they, you know, if you start them talking about their hedgehog, and the stories are great. You know, it's awesome because it's really fun. So it's not like, oh God, here we go with 800 hedgehog photographs or something. But I mean, the personalities on these guys seem like they're really, it seems like a lot more of a personable pet than like, oh God, I don't even know. Like a hamster or a gerbil, they seem to have huge personalities.
They do. I mean, you have to take time with them. You know, they're very solitary animals. Mm-hmm. So if you don't make the effort to socialize them when they're young, you won't have a great relationship with them because they're just going to get scared every time you come by and ball up.
Yeah.
But if you take the time from when they're really young and socialize with them, they're hilarious. They're fun. They're curious. They're playful. I don't know that I'd use the word affectionate, but they're certainly a lot of fun.
And what do they do in the winter?
As far as hibernation?
Yeah. Do the wild ones hibernate?
It depends on where they are. There are some species that will hibernate when it gets cold. There are also species in hot climates that will go into a similar mode of hibernation from the heat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in captivity, though, I pretty much always we warn people don't, because people will go online and they'll read like, oh, your hedgehog should hibernate. In captivity, there's no need for them to do that.
Right.
And you should not encourage them to do that.
Okay.
Because it's not something that is required for them to survive. Mm-hmm. It's something that's required for them to survive in the wild if they're in, you know, cold climates, but not in your apartment.
You know, it's so funny because it's like I always envision hedgehogs being like moles, like that they make like these burrows underground and all this, and they don't. And so it's like, okay, well, when it gets cold, then, you know, it's like go down for warmth or that kind of thing. And it's just,
they just shut down. I mean, they, yeah, they really, their body, I mean, you know, they go into hibernation. A lot of times you hear stories of people who find them in their yards and they think that they're dead.
Oh, no.
But they're not. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, they'll take the body or whatever. And then they wake up and it's like, oh my God,
it
wasn't breathing. It was ice cold, but no, that's what hibernation is.
It's really, I mean, that's something else that blows my mind is like when, you know, cause we always talk about like a certain animal. And so of course there's always subspecies and, you know, that kind of thing, but like how well they adapt, like the fact that there's some in Africa and then you've got some in Asia, you know, and you've got some in Europe where it's cold.
It's just,
it's amazing that they can do that and just survive.
It's totally amazing. But that's what 15 million years will give you.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. It gives you enough time.
They've had time, yeah. Figure it out.
Well, I am talking to Lorelei Tibbetts all about hedgehogs. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue the conversation.
Just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
And we are back. I am talking to Lorelei Tibbetts, manager of the Center for Avian and Exotic Medicine, all about hedgehogs. And we're learning a lot, and they're actually really awesome. I'm kind of like, I shouldn't do shows about animals I'm interested in because I'm just like, I want one. Like, now I'm like going to be like, I need a hedgehog. I know it. It's ridiculous.
Well, you may want to rethink that.
I know, right?
It's not for everyone.
Are they hard work?
Well, it's not so much their hard work. It's that, I guess the things to think about if you're thinking about getting a hedgehog is, number one, they do require, in my opinion, live bugs.
Okay.
A lot of people sell, the pet stores will sell, you know, hedgehog food, or they'll, breeders will tell them just feed cat food or dog food. But I am a firm believer that these animals should have appropriate diets.
Totally.
Maybe in addition to a commercially made diet.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs, mealworms, slugs, crickets, they love them. I mean, whenever you offer them to these guys, they go crazy.
Nice.
It's really something that gives them enrichment in their lives and is important. So if you're not up for that, it may not be a pet for you.
Okay.
And also, you have to be prepared that they may not want to, you know, hang out with you.
Yeah.
And it can be, you know, depressing for someone to get an adorable animal that they want to interact with, they want to play with, and every time they go to pick it up, it turns into a ball and pokes them and hurts them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally.
That may not, you know, be enjoyable for you. So it's something to really, you know, to really think about. Maybe visit with some hedgehogs first before you decide you want to go out and you know, get one.
Would you recommend these for someone with a kid?
I wouldn't, no. I mean, there's also, you know, they can get spread salmonella.
Oh, wow.
They can also spread ringworm is something we commonly see with them. They do require veterinary care for these things. They can, most of them have mites coming from the breeders.
Makes sense.
It's very common with them. We need to deparasitize them. So I don't think it's a great animal for kids. It's not like a puppy. They're going to, you know, learn good habits. You know, people tend to want to get pets for their kids. They're trying to teach them responsibility and good habits and stuff like that. And that's all great.
Yeah.
But other than cleaning the cage and giving it attention, I feel like there's some risks involved with hedgehogs for kids.
No, and I think that's a good point because they're so damn cute that it's like, oh my God, I'll get my 3-year-old one. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, it's adorable. It's cute. But then they roll in a ball and roll around the floor, and you're like, now what do? Put gloves on and pick it up and put it back in the cage.
Seriously. It's like, oh no. So, since they are pretty solitary, what are their mating habits like? Like, do they find each other on the moonlit night and that kind of thing?
Oh, my God, it's kind of exactly what it is. So, they don't live in groups. They're social. Their dynamics are very, in my opinion, strange.
Yeah, like, totally.
They basically, they're nocturnal animals. They, when they're in their breeding season, they wink at each other and find someone. They come together for mating purposes, and that is it.
Really?
Yeah. And they really don't stay together. And then even when they're when the babies are born, they wean at like 5 or 6 weeks, and they're gone.
Wow.
And that's it.
Wow.
They're on their own.
Wow.
I know. Kind of lonely. They live a lonely life.
Yeah, seriously. It's like single mama, and then like all your babies leave, and it's like, what happened?
that's what they like. I don't know.
And so how old does a hedgehog have to be to breed? Like, in a lifespan of a female hedgehog, what is it, like 5-6 litters?
Well, they would have to be about like 2 to 3 months before they're going to be, you know, sexually mature. And I would imagine they could breed pretty much until they're, you know, sick and old. They don't have, you know, menopause, so to speak.
Huh.
But their breeding days are probably limited to a couple years.
It's really interesting because, I mean, you know, it's just like this cartoon mentality of like, no, we're all friends and we live in a big family and like this hedgehog land in this little underground house. And it's like, it's all wrong, people.
Yeah, because there's so many other animals of that size. Like, you know, you think of, like I said, guinea pigs. They love living, you know, in groups, and rabbits. They live in these big, you know, warrens and different social orders. But hedgehogs are just not like that.
It's so funny. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and even just their body is like, get away from me. It's like the hermit.
They're prickly
of the
in more ways
ward.
Than one, right?
And so, I mean, this is something that I ask all my guests. Do you have any good sites that are anywhere good to recommend for people that want to find out more information about hedgehogs? I really had a hard time looking online finding much of anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a go-to hedgehog website.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. We have go-to rabbit websites, go-to guinea pig ones. That doesn't mean there are bad ones.
Yeah.
I just don't have one in particular I recommend. I guess what I would say is, to anybody, you know, there's good information on the internet mm-hmm. for pet care and there's bad information. Mm-hmm. If you suspect there's something wrong with your pet physically, always consult a veterinarian yeah. that specializes in exotics and not yeah. a dog and cat vet that yeah. may see one hedgehog a year.
Totally.
Or someone who really knows them. And if you're just looking for care, you know, look at more than one website. You know, yeah. definitely talk to your breeders, talk to, you know, look on different websites, see what the general consensus is, or even better, again, go to a vet. Let yeah. the professionals tell you what the right things to do are.
So let's say I wanted a hedgehog and I know nothing about them.
Right.
Could I make an appointment at the Center for Avian and Exotic Medicine and come in and speak to a vet about them without having an animal physically there? Is that something you guys can do? Or?
Most people don't do that.
Yeah.
If you were to call to request that, they might make, you know, give you my email and mm-hmm. say, email Lorelei and,
totally.
And she'll give you some advice before you buy the pet.
That's cool.
Yeah, because, you, cool. You know, we want people to spend their money on the actual exam.
It would be a weird exam, too. I mean, it'd be
right.
like, here's my fantasy pet. So, should I get it?
I know.
It's like, no vitals, nothing, no temperature. It's
yeah.
all good.
Yeah, I don't have a body weight on that one.
It's like, I don't know. He looks good, though. He's cute. He's healthy. Yeah, because I was looking, too, and it was like, I found on some of the hedgehog care sites, it was interesting, because there was one that was like, oh, just feed him cat food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was another one that was like, no, bugs. And it was like, okay, so...
Well, and to be honest, they're technically omnivores. They're
okay.
insectivorous as far as that's their preference,
mm-hmm.
but they can eat fruits, vegetables, things
okay.
like that, and that can be and should be part of their diet as far as again enrichment. I firmly believe with exotic animals, it's not okay to just take these animals, stick them in a cage, and give them cat food.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to give them, like I was talking about earlier, exercise and a diet that they can really enjoy. I mean,
yeah.
Different kinds of bugs, different kinds of fruits
yeah.
and veggies, and yes, a commercially made hedgehog or a high quality
mm-hmm.
cat food diet is
mm-hmm.
is good to have as part of it, but you want to make their short lives as full as possible.
Yeah.
It's just not fair to take these animals and put them in a cage and forget about them.
That's the thing. And it's like, I mean, what I wonder about that too is, you know, I mean, because they're so little. Like, do you have any idea, like, how far a hedgehog travels in a day? Like, in the wild?
They can literally travel dozens of miles.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And they're quite fast,
oh my
which
God.
Is amazing.
Oh, my God.
I know. They spend all their night times running and walking and
okay.
foraging for food, looking for food. That's
yeah.
what they do. I mean, literally dozens of miles. They're very, very energetic. And they just because they're nocturnal doesn't mean that they're not active.
Totally.
And obesity is actually an issue.
I would think so, too.
That we see
yeah.
in captivity because people don't know how much exercise they really should have.
I mean, it's like the more we're talking about it, and with no disrespect to any hedgehog owners out there, but this sounds like it's like
yeah.
not the best pet.
Well, they also love to swim.
No way.
They do.
Oh my God.
They swim. They climb. There are reports of
oh
them
God.
Being able to climb brick walls and fencing. They,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. And we know they love to swim. If you know, there's a lot
so
of
random.
I know. It's very random. They're amazing little animals. So people just again, they don't think they just you know put them in an enclosure, but
mm-hmm.
I am always trying to get people, you know, put them in a shallow bath or in the sink and let them paddle around.
Yeah.
They like it.
Yeah, totally. And yeah. I mean, for a cage, for one, I mean, it's like, I almost feel like most of the small animal cages in my book are way too small. And
not
so, yet. Like, I had this gigantic guinea pig cage for Stella, and even for her, it was too small, but it was big. It was
yeah.
probably quadruple the size of a normal rodent cage, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I feel like a hedgehog cage should be like this gigantic terrarium in your house almost, or some, you know, huge structure.
It should be, you know, I always tell people the biggest cage you can afford and will fit in your home. But
yeah.
it's still, even if you do have that, it's still, again, 15, 20 miles a
it's
night.
Crazy.
So get them a wheel. Again, put them in a little exercise ball, let them come out.
It's crazy. It reminds me of, you know, like husky owners that are like, my dog never gets tired. And then they took those Iditarod dogs and did stress tests on them when they finished. And after a 1,000-mile race, they were just warming up.
Unbelievable.
Might want to rethink that breed for a city. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's probably like, don't want to let it sit in your apartment for 12 hours.
I can't imagine why it ate the couch.
You know? I know.
I don't know what went wrong there.
Right. Put it on Prozac.
That's the thing. And I think that that's a really good point to talk about a little bit is the fact of like appropriate pets. Mm-hmm. You know, because just because something's damn cute doesn't mean that you're it's going to be a good relationship between you and that animal. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know, I think what makes it even harder for hedgehogs is because they are often, as sad as it sounds, disappointing to people. They don't meet their expectations. So they even get doubly neglected because, you know, they don't have people often don't have that bond with them. If they can't handle them at all, it's hard to feel the love for them, to give them the extra enrichment and medical care. And people often don't even notice when they're sick. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we don't see them until something is seriously wrong. And it's not just that they're bad people, it's just they didn't notice because they're not handling them regularly because they don't have that bond with them. So you know, I really try to, when people do contact me to try to figure out if a pet is right for them, a lot of times I find myself discouraging them from getting these animals. I think rescuing them is a great idea, and I think there are some animals that are more suited, you know, just certain families than others.
I agree with that, and I think, honestly, I think it's a really intelligent and mature thing to do if you're thinking about an animal and you're like, well, I don't know if I really want a 14-foot boa in my home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
whatever that animal may be, I mean, a dog or a cat might not be appropriate for you. Once you find out how much work is involved.
I live in a fifth floor walk-up. I am not going to be walking a dog down five flights of stairs to walk it five times a day.
Seriously?
Not going to happen.
Like, nope, thank you. I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's true. And it's, you know, this is the thing about these, because it's like, you know, you see them and it's... they're so cute. And everyone's, oh, it's so cute. They're so little. So they'll just hang out in my purse all day, or, you know, hang out in my hand all day, or watch TV with me, or, you know.
Yeah. And except they're nocturnal and they're not going to want to do that.
And I've heard that some people have tried to turn nocturnal animals into diurnal animals. Mm-hmm. You can't really do that, can you?
Well, you can try. Yeah. If, you know, is it causing them some sort of physiological stress that's setting them up for being immune compromised? Maybe.
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, I think those animals probably suffer a certain degree of sleep deprivation. We're going against their innate instincts. And again, these are not domestic animals. These haven't been domestically bred for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years like dogs and cats. So they still have a lot of their innate, you know, senses are intact.
Their
bodies are programmed to be awake at night and foraging and hunting and running and swimming and climbing at night and in sleeping in the day. So it's hard to breed that out of an animal. You're not going to do it in one or two generations.
Mm-mm. And that can make owners crazy too, because like, you know, anyone that's had a gerbil or a hamster with that damn wheel going all night, I mean, that thing's loud.
Yeah.
So it's really something to think about if you're like, you know, I mean, they're lovely animals. I have nothing against them, but I think as a pet, I just think that they're misunderstood, and after what you've told me today, I think they're way more complicated than people would assume.
They are. They're complicated. They're beautiful. They're fun. They're interactive, but you know, they're tough. You have to really do your research and make sure you're ready for what it takes.
Do you have any good stories about hedgehogs? Any good clients?
Well, we do. We have some great hedgehog clients. One of the funny things about hedgehogs that they do that we get a lot of vet referrals for, which is always funny to me, and this is how I know a vet doesn't treat a lot of hedgehogs. The clients will come in and they'll say, oh, my hedgehog's really sick. He's, you know, frothing at the mouth. They think he's got rabies. Oh, my God, he's got rabies. And we're like, oh, wow, this is serious, because we all, you know, we joke because we know that hedgehogs really don't get rabies, especially living in someone's apartment. But what they do is something called self-anointing.
Ooh.
Which is when they, and we don't really know why this happens, but we know that hedgehogs, when they encounter new objects or new scenarios, they hypersalivate and they ball up their saliva and they kind of get it all over themselves. They rub it on their quills. They rub it on the objects in their enclosure, and it's really disgusting, and it kind of can look like they're rabid because they're making these like saliva balls, but it's a natural thing that hedgehogs do in the wild and in captivity, and they self-anoint and they rub spit all over themselves.
Sounds like a date I was on recently.
I know, right?
It's like, oh God.
Not good.
I know, right? That's a whole other show.
That's another show. That's next week.
So is there anything about hedgehogs that you learned that really surprised you when you found out?
Well, what I think is fascinating is, you know, they have very poor vision.
Oh, wow.
They don't see well, like a lot of nocturnal animals. Yeah. But they have amazing sense of smell and hearing.
Really?
These are animals that can literally smell and hear worms in the dirt, hunt for them, dig them up, and eat them.
Wow.
I mean, they're amazing. And they have done some research on you know, the abilities that they have, and it's pretty remarkable. I was kind of blown away when I read some papers about that.
It's so amazing. I mean, all animals have these like little special gifts. You know,
they do.
Like, wow.
I know. Some we're just all good at some things and not as good at others.
Totally.
They're just like us.
It's perfect. It works out beautifully. I am so thrilled that you came in, Lorelai. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. I love talking to you.
And
yeah, and you're so full of information. You know your stuff, which is really, really nice. So, yeah, if any of you guys have any exotics and you live in the tri-state area, the Center for Avian and Exotic Medicine in New York City is a wonderful, wonderful place. Do not bring your dogs and cats. This is for avians and exotic animals. So, you know, basically everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like them. I've known them for a while. They're really, really great people. Everyone there loves their work. I can go on and on about it. But what I love about it is I can drag Lorelai in here with a two-day warning and get this awesome interview.
Happy to help.
Funky animals.
Last minute, Lorelai, you got me anytime.
Dude, thank you so much. Really, I really, really appreciate it. And so next week, we're going to have a pretty intense show about rhinos. I'm very excited about this one. It's a very serious show. However, we're going to try to keep it light as always. So thank you guys for tuning in. Lorelai, thank you as always. And we will see you guys next week. So until then, take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.